Amen. So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And as we thank him, we praise him for the grace and the gift of life. We are in the book of Ephesians, and we're still in Ephesians chapter 5. And we are carrying on with this teaching of Paul of how to be practical. You know, I always say that Paul taught doctrine, but he also taught the practice of the Christian life. And he is trying to show us how this new man lives. You know, there is an old man that was born in tradition, that was born in self, that says, oh, it is about me, oh, I don't get this, oh, I don't get this. You know, when self says it is I, but what can I get? But the love of God, the love of Christ is always, what can I give? And anytime we ask the right question, not what can I get or what am I not getting, but we ask the question, what am I not giving or what can I give? Then we shift from looking at self to shift at looking at others. And really, it's about perspective. It's about where God wants us to be, where we die to self and we grow in Christ, that it is Christ that is revealed. You know, do we find Jesus? Do we portray Jesus? Is when people meet us, do they meet Christ? When our spouses speak to us, do they encounter Christ? Do they, when our children, do they encounter God? You can think of how they speak of Ahithophel, that his counsel was as one who had inquired of God. If someone would go to speak to Ahithophel, it was as if they had just spoken to God. Why? Because the man had the wisdom of God. He had the counsel of God in his lips. And that is to tell you that God is able to make us wise. He is able to make us have the wisdom, to make us have the power, that even when Jesus was on the earth, they could ask him what was the reason why this man was born blind. And Jesus can go back into time and say it was not because he sinned or his parents sinned, but this was for the glory of God to be revealed in his life. So we can see that there is a practice of, or there is a way that we are to live the Christian life, and this is really to walk in love. To walk in love, to walk the way of love, to walk the way of understanding, to walk the way of compassionate living, to walk the way of having a tender heart. You know, when you have a tender heart towards someone, then there is no hardness that you express towards them. There is no anger. There is no offense. A heart that is, you know, void of offense, a conscience that is void of offense. That means that it doesn't matter what they do or what they say, it does not bring offense to you. That is the way of love. That is the way of love. And the Bible calls it that, you know, when you walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Can you think of the, and we're being told, follow the pattern of Christ. Follow God's example. Follow God's pattern. He's leading that he gave himself up. Christ had everything that he could ever want. He was in very nature equal to God, but he gave that all up and humbled himself and took on the form of a servant. And he was found in appearance as a man. And he even humbled himself even to the point of death. And that is why God has highly lifted him up. There is a place of lifting that only comes when we submit ourselves, when we forget ourselves, when we forsake our own ways, when we stop looking at ourselves, when we stop making demands for, you know, it's about me, me, me. But it should be about, what can I give to the other person? What can I do to the other person? That aspect is what makes the difference. It is where we are now a sacrifice. Christ gave himself up for us as a sacrifice. And then now verse 3 starts to speak about this very important aspect of purity, sexual purity. And you know, aspects of the mind, aspects of the heart. And the Bible says, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure, that no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them, or do not be partakers with them. For you were once light, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything that exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it says, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Then in verse 15 says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you look at just this progression that he starts to speak about, he starts to address what is basically idolatry. And you see, when idolatry is when you have something that you have raised up above God. Now, idolatry, we often think of idols as physical, you know, things that you have to create and, you know, made in an image of a god, and you put it somewhere and you bow down and worship it. But you see, when he's speaking of these sins of the heart, of this inner person sins, and he calls them idols, it means that these things have taken the place of God. That means that when someone is self-centered, and you see, when he speaks of, for example, greed is where there is an uncontrolled desire, be it for food, be it for wealth, you know, be it for to be known. And this desire is so much that it becomes a god, in that you find people that say that I must make it by all means, that it doesn't matter the end, it doesn't matter the means, what matters is that we become rich. And you find this in politicians or in leaders, where the end, they say the end justifies the means. Oh, they will make it by all means, whether it's doing Yahoo, whether it is, you know, committing crimes, whether it is, you know, making rituals and sacrifices. They do all this because at the end of the day, what matters to them is that they make it. But you see, when greed becomes a driving force for life, then you find that greed becomes an idol. And now the Bible says such a person is an idolater. Look at the other form of idolatry. It speaks about any hint of sexual immorality, you know, fornication and all uncleanness. You see, one of the things that we must understand is that God makes us righteous. God declares us righteous. God cleanses us. He creates us in true holiness and righteousness. But you see, it is one thing for God to call you. It is another thing for you to become it. it is another thing for you to leave it. That means that unless you obey what God has said, unless you actually purify yourself, unless you actually walk in righteousness, there is a great warning. Be sure that such a person does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Yes, we love to teach about the grace of God, what Christ has made us, how he has united us with him, how he has made us in true, we are new creation. But now, can we live as a new creation? And one of the greatest things that contaminates, you know, the Bible says, let us get rid of all filthiness and uncleanness that contaminates body and spirit. There are things that will make you unclean and contaminate not only your body, but also your spirit. And this is something like sexual immorality. What is it saying? Even a hint, let there be no idea. You see, people will always try to excuse certain things. They will, and how what the enemy does is he always will give it a simple name. You know, adultery is called, it's just an affair, you know, or it's just a side dish, or it's just a side, you know, side hustle, or, you know, something on the side, and, or it's just a fling, or it's just a one-night stand. You know, there are many ways that I used to take about it when you think of pornography, or at least I'm not, someone will say, oh, at least I'm not doing it with someone else, at least I'm not contracting HIV, oh, I'm just satisfying myself, what is wrong with it, oh, there are doctors that say it is healthy and all that. You see, all these are always excuses. You know, when they think of, you know, when trying to justify, you know, all this aspect of same sex, and you find people saying that, oh, you know, it's biology, it is how I was made, this is in my chromosomes, this is in how, you know, I was nurtured, and I can't run away from who I am, and all these things. And the Bible says, among the believers, let there not be even a hint of sexual immorality. And you see, when you think Paul, how he teaches about when one is joined, he says, when one that is joined to a prostitute, they become one body with her. There is a union of oneness. Whenever, you know, sex goes beyond just the physical, it is spiritual. And one of the things that happens is that there is a communion, not only at the physical level, but also at the spiritual level, where there is exchange. There is spiritual exchange. And there are many people who have lost their destinies because of sex. Now, when they committed sex, they were either used as sacrifices, or they exchanged, they received demons, they received curses, and the people also took away from them their blessings, took away from them their inheritance. So because of casual sex, there is what becomes spiritual ties, and you will find that someone will say, me, I like big or short or black or light. But if they go back in history, they will find that what they think is their pattern or is their type is actually a spiritual bondage that was established from the first illicit sexual intercourse that they did. And because that was the first, it imprinted, and then that person is tied in the soul, is tied spiritually to that person that they did their first encounter with, and they will keep looking for that person. Now, because the Bible says he that is joined to a harlot, or he that is joined to a prostitute, is one, he becomes one with them, then that means that you start carrying the spirit of that person wherever you are. And you can find that even you can be married, but when you're with your spouse, you are still thinking about those previous encounters that you had. Why? Because you are still in bondage. You are still tied up. You're still having a soul tie or a spiritual tie, because he that is joined to a prostitute becomes one spirit with them. And that's why, you know, God says that when a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, they shall become one flesh. So that unity happens and it results in a bond. Now imagine when you sleep with a person who has slept with 10 people and that person becomes one spirit with you, then you also become one spirit, or you are joined with the 10 people that the person has slept with, and now you become the 11th, and then you pick up all those demons, you pick up all those curses, you pick up all those bad luck, and you exchange that. And that is why you find that people start behaving like one another. Why? Because there is exchange in the spirit. There is exchange, there's spiritual exchange whenever sexual intercourse and immorality occurs. Now, it is important to be set free. I don't say that everyone eventually marries a virgin. Yes, there are people who messed up before they got married and they have come to Christ in the mercy of God. It takes deliverance. It takes coming to God and denouncing these covenants that have been made in the past, disconnecting yourself spiritually, disconnecting yourself verbally, and in prayer, discounseling every covenant that has been made in the past that ties you to others spiritually because of the previous sexual encounters that you've had. And when you are truly set free, then you will find that you do not remember, you do not fantasize about the past. You now can truly love the person that God has given you to be your wife. So when you think about it, anything that opens up this door, it opens up the door to demons. You know, when there is masturbation, what masturbation does is that it opens up to demons. Why? Because you think you are alone, but in the mind, you are connecting to demons. And even some of those things that are watching are portals to the demonic. They are portals to demonic attacks. They are portals to, you know, it's like you're just uniting yourself with the spirit. And you see what does that, it does is that it contaminates your spirit. Yes, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, you have the Spirit of God. But you see, when you have a contamination in your spirit, then you can find yourself, you're like Balaam. Balaam, at one point, is prophesying with the Spirit of God. At the other point, is prophesying from the demonic worlds, because he wants to curse Israelites. But also, God is also in there trying to speak through him, and he also prophesies about the Christ. So you can see a classical example of someone operating from two spirits. So that means someone can operate from even multiple spirits. And this comes because of gateways that people have opened up for themselves. And to the outside world, you look like you are amazing. And someone will say, but how can this man of God be so powerful, yet he's still living such a life of sexual immorality? That's why you'll hear someone saying, oh, me, I hear the voice of God better when I watch pornography. Now you see, that tells you this person is operating from two spirits. These are two spirits that the person is operating. And the problem with ministry is that whatever spirit that you operate to, you minister the spirit to people. If your heart is full of greed, if your heart is full of covetousness, if your heart is full of idolatry, those idols that you carry in your heart is what you minister to the people with. And that is why it's very careful. You must be very careful who you submit yourself under, who you listen to, who you allow to lay your hands on. That's why the scripture says, do not be hasty in the laying on of hands so that you may share in the sins of others. That means that even in the laying on of hands, there is transference of spirit. Even in the speaking, when Peter was preaching to the house of Cornelius, while he was still speaking, the Spirit came upon them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke with other tongues. That means that even as people speak to us, they transfer spirits. Even music, demonic spirits transfer spirits. Now, God is warning that all these things are improper for God's holy people. There must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. If it is impure, it is impure. There is no way to argue it out. There is no way to justify it. There are things that are improper for God's holy people, and that will mean you will cut out certain things that people watch, certain books that people read. You know, they'll always be, it's not too bad. Oh, it's a current trending thing. But all these are gateways that open you up to demonic spirits. And before you know it, your spirit is contaminated and you're struggling with certain things that you should not be doing. The Bible says you can be sure of this. No immoral, no impure or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and its God. Look here, God is saying, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. So do not be partners with them. So you cannot say that, I'm under grace, so I will still go to heaven. I can do whatever I want. I can live in sin. My past, present, and future sins are forgiven. What is the difference between you and the person in the world? Is it because you just confess that you have the grace? No. The Bible says, for this reason, God's wrath comes upon the disobedient. There is a purity. We are being called to righteous living. We are being called to ensure that we are purified. I'll stop here, and I pray that God will give us more insight into this. My brother, you're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Nami. This is a great eye-opening to Dr. Rawlinson to reflect on. It takes the willingness of the person receiving the word to be able to experience the impact and the change. Speaking of this, I just remembered the parable of the seeds, the ones that fell on fertile ground and those that fell on the sandy ground. So, you know, just imagining you are the ground and the seed is the word of God. So which kind of ground is the word of God falling on? Is it falling on fertile ground, or is it falling on rocky or sunny grounds? And the word of God can only germinate or do well when it falls on fertile ground. So we need to make ourselves available in a way that when the word of God lands on us, it really has an impact. Because as you said, it's not only about confessing the grace or saying Christ is our Lord and Savior, but also preparing your spirit, your soul, and your body to live and to act as the word says. And that is the only way we see the impact of what the word of God has. Because as you say, many Christians are now living like, I think the Bible refers to them as lukewarm. You know, one leg is into the world, the other leg is into the kingdom of God. We only remember to be holy and pure on the day of service. Once you step out of the house of the Lord, you are straight into the world. And this is, it's very common that we are not even conscious of the words we say. We forget that we live in a world where we're in constant spiritual battle. That everything we do could amount to either being victims or being winners. And that begins from the thought process, what we say, what we imagine, what we confess. Sometimes we think we're just talking for the sake of banter or for the sake of it. But not knowing that you're actually opening up certain doors that you are unconscious of, you're not aware of. And you will start wondering why I'm praying, but I'm not seeing this happening. I remember while you were away when Carl was preaching about aborting the will of God. Mm. Sometimes we do abort that without knowing, you know, because of what we say, what we do as Christians. You've gone to before God, you've spoken to God, and God has promised in his heart to give you something or to open a door for you. But before it comes through, because now the enemy is, he doesn't want you to get it.
Yeah.
He will make sure he leads you astray, and that is it.
Mm.
So I think we just need to be cautious of these things and see how best we can, because things happen. Because you just look at even in marriages.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are people who are perhaps struggling to have children, people struggling to connect with their wives or spouse, not because they don't have the ability, but it's because they open doors that keep on keeping them in that constant cycle of at the right time when God has planned to do something, you get into a fight. Yeah. At the right time when God has, you know, promised to do something, you're not seeing eye to eye. So these are kind of things that we just need to be conscious and awake in the spirit to know when it is an attack from the devil and when it's just a situation. But as a Christian, we just need to know that you should be constantly on guard. So thank you a lot for that, and God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Yeah, we must be guarded. Guard our hearts with all due diligence. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word that you have called us to righteousness. You called us to a life of holiness. You have called us to not just use the grace of God as a license for sin and immorality and idolatry, but indeed to check ourselves, to seek your mercy, to seek your forgiveness. That, Lord, any door that we have opened, any door that anyone has opened in the past, be it in relationship, be it in thoughts, be it in immorality, be it in greed, O God, that we ask your mercy, that the blood of Jesus purifies and sanctifies and disconnect them, as even as they renounce this covenant and this past things that are holding them back, O God. We come against them in the name of Jesus. I speak freedom. I speak the love of God. I speak the forgiveness of God. I speak the power for righteousness, O God. Indeed, you give us the power to overcome sin, the power to stay in salvation, the power to look unto you. You are our Father. You are our all in all. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. Bless the work of our hands. Bless our going in, bless our coming back, until we meet again, in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom.
Amen.